He wants to sit up here. Now, you might know why. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad to see you guys this morning. Just so you know, I wasn't sure I was going to be here. All right. You know, at the end of the service, I always tell you, have a great week because I'm going to. I didn't. Anybody? I didn't have a good week. Monday, I go to the dentist. I'm getting some implants. And they had to drill some holes. They tap those holes. And he's got a little ratchet. And he's going, you know. And so he does all this work on my jaw. So I'm full of stitches. So that's Monday. All right. So some antibiotics. Start thinking, okay, that's going to be good. That's cool. You know, I always get my dental work done on Monday, so I'm ready for Sunday. Gives me lots of time to get well. Well, Thursday, my stomach starts acting up. Anybody? So Friday was not a good night to be in my house. All right. And so, you know, it's like, am I going to feel okay for Sunday? So I feel well. You need to know that. But my wife says I am contagious for 3 days. I'm sleeping in the bedroom by myself, okay? And so I've been in my office. I'm not avoiding you. I'm just kind of giving you a break. I don't want you to have what I have. So here's what I just kind of make you aware. At the end of this service, we give our invitation. I'm going to ask Dan to stand here today. Many of you have responded to Dan, and Dan's prayed with you before. He's our associate pastor. So Dan will be here for us, and he'll be here to respond to your needs. And I'm just going to kind of slip out. And I just don't want to shake hands. I just don't want to pass on because I don't want you to feel like I feel, because I want you to have a good week and get to see you next week. Because it's kind of like, you know, this message really fit well. This message, today's message in this series, Healing for Damaged Emotions, was really the key message for me. It was one that I was really looking forward to sharing, this idea of depression. How do we deal with depression? You know, for me, not to preach is depressing. Did you know that? It's kind of like Jeremiah in the Old Testament. He says there's a burning within him. There's just something in me that I want to declare God's word. I know that God loves you and that God has a plan for you and God wants to bless you. I want you to know that. And I want to communicate as a pastor all these years I've been here that, you know what, it's fun being a Christian. It's a joy being a Christian. There's something about following God, and I want you to know that. So I love sharing God's word with you. And so it's kind of depressing when I'm going, well, am I going to get to preach? I don't, you know. So how do we deal with depression? See, we started this series several weeks ago. We got one more message. Basically saying this, that, well, that John 10:10, you got your little outline. Let me encourage you to get your outline out. That verse, John 10:10, it's really that central theme there, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What we're saying is Satan wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. But that Jesus came, that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that abundant life is not just this American dream. You know, the new nice car, the big home, the nice plan, whatever it is, it's not all that stuff. That abundant life included those emotional things. And we've been talking about love, joy, and peace. That we all want this emotion. We want a sense of belonging. I want to tell you, I have a sense I belong here. This is where I belong. There's something about being here. You know, this sense of belonging, this sense of joy, that there's happiness. You know, life has its ups and downs, but I want to be happy. I want to enjoy life. And being a Christian is a joy. Anybody agree with that? If you agree that joy, being a Christian is a joy, would you say amen? All right, it's a joy being a Christian. And then when you have that, you have this peace that no matter what happens in our world, as crazy as our world is, that God's on his throne. That I don't understand, I don't get it, I wonder why, but God is on his throne. We want that in our life, that joy, that peace, that love, we want that. But so often those emotional things in life, and one of those great things, as I was doing my research, 14 million people in America suffer from clinical depression. We all get depressed. We all battle those times when we're down. It's, you know, how do we deal with it? So I want to make sure, here's my battle. My minor in college was psychology. I was two classes short of a double major. In my postgraduate work, I took a lot of psychology classes. I even went down to Stan State when I moved to the Salida area and moved to pastor this church down and talked to Stanislaus State about their psychology department and a master's degree in building there. But I know enough to know I don't know well. I feel so inadequate talking about depression. You know, and how do we deal with that, and how do we express it? Because we battle this, and we hear Christians get depressed, and that's kind of like, well, how can a Christian get depressed? Isn't that kind of a contradiction? You know, you're a Christian, you know, God's on his throne, you're really happy, and life is always gonna work out, and life is always a joy. You know, how do we deal with that? But the Bible is so true, and this is the one great thing about the Bible. It never hides anything. It's always out there, and you can get the stories of guys in the Scripture who battled depression. Probably the most famous guy who battled depression is a guy named Saul. Anybody? Saul, a king of the Old Testament. Saul, who was to be king because he was tall. You can read the story. It's not a really good story. People decided they wanted to do things their way, and they weren't willing to follow God, and so they chose Saul. And Saul made some bad choices and wasn't following God, and he ended up in these spirals of depression. In that midst of depression, they found a cure for him. I want you to look here. It's 1 Samuel 16. It says this: "And whenever the harmful spirit from God, whenever he got depressed, God had spirit..." Now, I want to make sure I said this right. You hear this? God had given... It's going to come up on the screen in just a minute. "Who, whenever God had this harmful spirit upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him." You can read this story of Saul. One time he picks up a spear and he tries to throw it at David and pin him to the wall. This guy battled those emotions, you know, that depression in those situations. There's another guy in the Bible named Elijah, a prophet of God. A successful prophet. The great story in the Bible, I love the story, Elijah the prophet and these other false prophets over here, and they have this argument, who's God's really God? You know, who's God's God? You know, we have our God and you got your God, and who's God's really God? And Elijah said, well, let's have a contest. You know, we'll go on top of these mountains and you build a fire pit over here and I'll build a fire, which is a sacrifice. We're going to do some sacrificing. And you build your sacrifice, I'll build my sacrifice. And then you don't start it, we'll let God start it. And so they set up these sacrifices on these hills, and they start praying. This group over here starts praying. They start hooping and a hollering. They're begging their God. Problem is, ain't nothing there, okay? They're begging this God to start, and nothing happens. They start jumping around. They start cutting themselves. They start doing all sorts of crazy to get their God to do something, and nothing happens. Elijah goes, okay, it's my turn. Oh, I love the part. This is a fun part. Elijah's over here and he's going, hey, maybe your God's taking a nap. You know, maybe your God's just wandering. He's just poking at him, you know, just egging him on. But Elijah says, okay, now it's my turn. He says, let's see here. Before I ask God to start this fire, let's pull some water on this. Now, isn't that a good fire starter? Right? You know, you're going to start a fire. You want to get some water, right? You want water to start your fire. And so he says, let's pour some water on this. So he pours water on it, and it's overflowing the fire pit, all right? And he goes, God, start the fire. Boom, fire. Whose God is God, right? They know. He has this great success, beautiful success. He comes down off the hill, and all of a sudden he's starting to hear these stories. It's this lady named Jezebel. Never name your kid Jezebel. Yeah. This lady named Jezebel, and she's... wants him killed, all right? She wants to get rid of him. So here he comes from this spiritual high, this spiritual success, this great feeling, and she wants to kill him. So he, well, God took care of him. God just send fire over there. Fry her. Yeah. No, here's what he says. And he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Bathsheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servants there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under the broom tree, and began, and an angel, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise, eat." Oh God, I just want to die. She wants to, he had this great success. You know, you ever notice that? Sometimes your most spiritual times, as soon as you turn from that, can be your most depressing times. Anybody ever been in that one? Yeah. You get close to God, you're feeling real good, you're coming down from that mountain experience, and all of a sudden it's like, That was Elijah. And then David the king, listen to what it says here. "For you are God, my only safe haven. Oh God, you're my only hope. Why have you tossed me aside?" Does this sound? "Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies?" Anybody? "Send your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live." Anybody ever feel like that? You know, I'm kind of reading it kind of ridiculous, right? But sometimes we feel that way. Even in the Bible, I want to make sure you understand, we get depressed. Even as Christians, even as believers, we know God is on his throne. We know who God is. We've experienced God. And still yet, there's those times coming down from the mountain. You know, David, a man that the scripture says is a man after God's own heart. What do we do? Now, how many of us have ever had a friend depressed? Anybody ever have a depressing friend? Anybody? You guys must have all good friends. You know? I've had friends that are depressed. And you want to encourage them, right? You want to say some things, right? We're going to talk about that. But let me sell some myths about depression. I want you to hear these myths. Listen to what it says here. Depression is a result of a lack of faith in God. If you were just to God, you wouldn't get depressed. If you were just walking with God, it'd be all over. That's not true. All right? It's not necessarily true. How about this next one? Depression is always caused by self-pity. Poor me. Always. It's just, if you only knew my trials. How about this one? Depression can always be removed by spiritual exercises such as praying and fasting. Just go home and pray. Come and shake the pastor's hand after the invitation and just pray with the pastor. And you can go home and never have depression. It doesn't work that way. Here's another myth. Depression can be removed by making a choice to be happy. Just choose to be happy. You know, it's your choice. Just be happy. The term depressed Christian is a contradiction. We already talked about that one. All depression comes from Satan. Not. Okay? We already seen Saul got his from who? God. All right, you guys are with me. Not all depression is from Satan. Depression is God's punishment. No. Okay, it's not you did something wrong, so I'm going to depress you. Doesn't work that way. And depression is never the will of God. Ooh, can you believe that? That sometimes depression may be the will of God. We'll talk about that as we go through the message. See, we have these myths. We get depressed. It's something we all battle. My battle, just so you get me, Mondays called Blue Mondays. All right? I can pretty much guarantee almost every Monday I'm going to be down. You can ask my wife. She doesn't like being around me on Monday. Because Sunday, I have laid everything out spiritually, emotionally, physically. I have laid it all out on Sundays. And so I am drained. I go home. You know, I go home from church. And you know what I take? I take an afternoon nap. You know, and then I take a early evening nap. All right? You know, those who've preached can tell you, you're done. You know, maybe the worship team people could talk about that too. You know, because you've laid it all out there. And so Mondays is a day that I'm just, You know, how do we deal? You know, depression is something that's real. So I like this verse here, Psalms 42, 5. Why am I so depressed? Why this within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise Him, my Savior and my God. All right? Yeah, I'm depressed. Why am I so depressed? Anybody ever figure that out? You wrestle with it? 14 million of Americans clinically depressed. Here's 10 things not to say. Look at what it says. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are doing. We want to help. You know, if your friend's depressed, you want to help them, right? Anybody? I don't see any. Yeah, no. All right. You want to help them, right? Well, here's what not to say, all right? Don't say, I know how you feel. Yeah, I know how you feel. I've been depressed. Well, yeah. You know, maybe something along the lines of, you know, is there something you want to talk about? Is there something you want to share with me? That I know how you feel. You need to exercise. Now, exercise does improve your mood, okay? You need to understand that. It's true. You know, that's a fact. But go get some exercise. That's going to go over like a lead ball for me. I don't know about you guys. How about this one? It's all in your head. It's all in your head. And they probably know that. It's not helping anything. You know? Just jump out of it. It's all in your head. How about this one? Get a different job. Just get a different job. Yeah, when your family depends on it, and you don't have other options. You know, maybe something like, you know, what can we do to make your job more meaningful to you? Might be more helpful. How about this one? Think positive. Just think positive. Just think. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Have you heard anybody tell you this one? Get over it. Anybody ever hear that one? Just get over it. How about, could it be your relationships? Now see, this one, is it, you know, because when you get negative, people don't want to be around you, do they? Kind of creates a circle there. So you got to be careful with that one. How about this one? This one I always love. Look how lucky you are. As Christians, look how blessed you are. What do you mean you're depressed? Look how blessed you are. Look at all the poor people over there. You're so blessed. What? Yeah. I'm sure you never heard any of these. How about this one? Everyone has problems. That makes it even worse. Well, I'm just hopeless. Yeah. Or about this one. Life is hard. I'm kind of put this one. Life's not fair. We all know that's true. I don't need anybody to tell me that. But see, we say these kind of things. We make these kind of comments. And they're not helpful. You know, it doesn't work. You know, but they need compassion. They need empathy. When we're depressed, we just, well, I don't know what we want. What do we want? You know, and how do we deal with it? I like that definition. I know I kind of glanced over it real quick, but I think this definition, if you turn the paper back over, you don't have to go back to it on the PowerPoint. I realize I forgot this. But I think this is so key. Depression is related to personality structure, physical makeup, body chemistry, glandular functions, emotional patterns, and learned feelings. I tried to memorize that, but I couldn't. Because it's complicated. That's what I want you to know. It's complicated. It's not just one thing. It might be the situation. It might be a historical thing in your life. It might be some chemical imbalance. It could be all sorts of stuff in your life. I want to make sure you understand. It's not this, well, there's this magical wand. We just wave and no more depression. You know, as I look at that, you know, that personality, I am not one who's prone to depression. You need to know that. That is, I am not. If I get depressed for more than one or two days, yeah, Monday I might have the blues, but I guarantee it's not going to last much past Monday. That's just not me. I am a happy-go-lucky person. That's just who I am. But other people have an Eeyore person. Anybody know an Eeyore personality? You know? Come on, you guys, anybody know an Eeyore personality? Thank you. I got one over here who says he's Eeyore. You know? And we have these personality traits, you know, and I think we need to understand that there's just not this one thing, that we are depressed. Look at what it says here, Ephesians 4:29. When you talk, do not say harmful things, but say what people need. Words that will help others become stronger. Then what you say will do good to those who listen to you. See, we need to see that it's this complicated emotional battle. Because we face depression. There's life situations. There's things that happen in our life. You know, there's hurts. There's wounds. There's breakups, boyfriends and girlfriends. There's breakups in our lives. There's all sorts of things in our life that happen to us. Roots that go back to our childhood. There's medical things going on in our body, but that chemical balances in our life. And we have all these things going on. And so here's what I want to start with this morning is, you know what, you got to accept the fact that you get depressed. And I want to give you permission to say, I'm depressed. Is that okay for me to tell you that? Is it okay for me to give you permission to say, I'm depressed? That sometimes you need to say, I'm depressed. What makes me mad is when I'm not depressed, my wife says, I'm depressed. The problem is I'm depressed. I just don't want to admit it. Anybody? You know, she'll tell me, Monday, you're depressed. I'm not depressed. I'm not depressed. I'm feeling good. Down deep inside, I know she's right, but I'm not going to admit it. I don't want her to be right. My wife's never right. Yeah. See, do we ever? Yeah, I think we need to come back to this. Look at this. Psalms 42:6 this time. I am deeply depressed. I am deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mazar. I'm deeply depressed. We need to say, I'm depressed. Relationships, situations, circumstances, events in our life, wounds from the past, glandular things going on in our body. Also, then we're born with temperaments. And we have all these things in our life. So we need to realize it's complicated and there's nothing. And so I want to make sure, I'm going to give you 7 things in just a minute. But I want to make sure you understand something. There are some people who are clinically depressed. There are some who have long-term bouts of depression. And there are some like me. You know, there's those moments of depression. You know, when you know, it's just, poor me. And they're all across the board. And I want to make sure you know there's always, and counseling is a must, okay? It's okay to talk to a counselor. Let me tell you, I had my teeth worked on. You know, the reason I got to get post in is because they hurt. Anybody ever get toothache? You get a toothache, you don't want to go to the doctor, do you? You don't go to the dentist when you get a toothache, do you? You never, you know, you're just going to suffer through, right? Your tooth hurts and it's aching and your jaw's starting to swell and it's like, just suck it up. Right? Come on. And yet when it comes to depression, we get depressed, and if it's a long-term or clinical depression, it's like, I'm just going to suck it up. I don't need anybody. Am I right? So we need to see counselors are okay. Good Christian counselors are good. We've had some Christian counselors in our church. They're good. We need counselors. We need to talk to somebody who can help us, who professionally can help us. And I want to make sure I say this too. Medicine is okay. Medic's okay. I use the word manage. I take a little pill. Matter of fact, I have to take a pill and a half for high blood pressure. Anybody take high blood pressure medicine? Nobody takes high blood pressure medicine? Anybody take diabetes medicine? Anybody got diabetes medicine? You wouldn't dream of not taking that medicine, would you? Your body's not quite hanging right. And yet you take them. But yet when it comes to our emotional things, they have this stigma. I can't take that medicine. And we create a stigma for medicine. That's what I really wanted to attack in this message series. Sometimes our body, that glandular thing in there that definition had, it's not doing something right. You know? Just like my blood pressure is jacked up sometimes. I go to get my teeth worked on. You know what they do? They're going to work on my jaw. You know what the dentist did? His first thing they did when they came in to work on my jaw? They took my blood pressure. Why do you think my blood pressure? You're going to drill holes over here. Listen, our bodies, all this thing's all made up as one. So I wanted to make sure as I preach this message that I'm going to give you 7 ideas, but listen, go see a counselor if you've got long-term battles of depression. If you can't get over it, there's nothing wrong with taking some medicine. I would not dream of skipping my heart medicine. Although I didn't take it a few days this week, because you don't take it on an empty stomach. And since my stomach was empty, I was taking it. Yeah, but I'm going to take my medicine. You know? So I wanted to say that, but I'm going to give 7 ideas here, okay? And so I want to make sure you see these 7 ideas. The first thing is this one. Avoid being alone. When you get depressed, you know what you want more than anything? Leave me alone. Anybody? You get depressed. Leave me alone. Just go away. Let me pull the blanket over my head and don't bother me. Let me just lay in bed until this passes. All right? Anybody? You know, we need to understand. We avoid being alone. Get up and force yourself to get out. All right? I told you, Mondays are a bad day for me. All right? Many times, not all the time, but many times Mondays are a bad day. It's a day, you know, like I said, I'm just fried on Sunday and it's just catch Monday. But you know what I do? I get up Monday morning, I eat some breakfast, I walk out of my house, I walk down to the church, I walk into my office every Monday morning. I have this rule. If I'm going to be depressed, it's on your time, not mine. All right? You know, I'm not going to take my, a preacher that takes Mondays off, I cannot be very smart in my book. Yeah. I'm going to get up and get out. Yeah. I walk right through the school here saying hi to the kids. The teachers are in the park, out in the playground greeting the kids and seeing the kids. I talk to the teachers and I walk to my office. See, force yourself when you're depressed. Get out. Move on. Look at what it says. 2 people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, and I think sometimes that falling is emotional, okay? Listen. Sometimes that falling is emotional. The other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is really in trouble. All right? Get up. Make a friend. Get out. See, here's this next one. Seek help from others. Not only get out, but sometimes find somebody to talk to. Do you have somebody you can talk? Remember the 3 things I always say? I didn't thought about this. As 3 things you need to have in your life. Really, 3 things you need to have in your life. You need to have a church home, a small group where you're growing together with a bunch of believers. You need to have somebody who can look in the eye and tell you you're being a jerk. You need those 3. Have somebody to help you. Who are you walking through life with? Who's that close friend? Maybe a counselor. You know, do you need to go see a counselor? I got names. If you want, I got 2 counselors I can send you to that will gladly. Matter of fact, I got inside track to one of them. She's very busy. But if they tell me they're from your church, I'll take care of them. So who do you need to talk to? How are you going to do it? A foolish thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. Foolish person, I don't need any advice. But a wise man listens to others. How about next? What do we got next here? Ooh. Sing. Make music. I don't do this one. I do not sing, and I do not make music. I will play music, okay? Those are laughing because they know I can't sing, all right? It probably make me more depressed if I listen to myself singing. All right. But I will listen to music. Music has a way that goes right to our heart, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Music just lift your emotions. You ever had a song make you cry? Anybody ever have a song that makes you cry? Yeah. You ever have a song that makes you happy? You know, music has that power in us. But isn't that Saul brought David playing his lyre? You know, that's kind of like a miniature, harp, like a miniature harp. Thank you. that music has that ability to touch our heart and to speak to us. And so music can lift. So play some music, some good music. See, for me, I'll turn on there's a movie I watch, okay? When I really start to feel down, I really need to pick me up. The movie is called, you guys are going to love it, Pollyanna. You guys have no idea what movie it is, do you? All right. It's an early Disney movie. It's a girl that makes the place happy. That movie just, I'll cry. I'm 60-some-odd years old laying there crying watching that movie. All right. Because it's just a movie that lifts my spirit. But you got to play some music. Look what it says. I will sing about your strength. In the morning, I will sing about your love. You are my defender, my safety in times of trouble. Music can have that power in our lives. How about this next one? Praise and give thanks. Praise and give thanks. You know, even when all things are going wrong, stop and think about all the blessings you have in your life. You know how my crazy mind thinks? Here's this, tell you how crazy this pastor is, okay? I ask Laura this all the time. Is it really a blessing when you sacrifice to get it? Isn't that a good question? I'm going to have to preach on that topic one day. Because I'm going to tell you, it's still a blessing. You know, Laura and I, you know, God has blessed us. And sometimes we've had to sacrifice in order to have the blessing. Anybody heard that? You sacrifice in order to get the blessing? You know, I don't know about you, when I was at that dentist's office, he had a scale in the corner. I got to sacrifice some food now. Candy. I'm glad Halloween is over. I can wait till Easter when the jelly beans come out. You know? But we got to sacrifice in order to have a blessing. You know, so we need to stop and think. Praise God and think about those blessings. And yeah, you know, it's tough. But you know what? We really are blessed. It just helps lift your spirits. Lean heavily on the power of God's word. Lean heavily on the power of God's word. It'll come up in a minute. Yeah, lean heavily on the power of God's word. The Bible is powerful, folks. Not only did God inspire the readers who wrote it, He inspires us when we read it. Anybody agree with that one? That He inspired those guys and ladies that wrote the scriptures. And then when we read it, He can inspire it in us. Let me give you a little hint. When you're battling depression, don't read the book of Job, okay? You know, that don't turn there. You know, I'm going to go find somebody who's in my situation. No, you want to find somebody in your situation. Yeah. Read the book of Psalms. Read some of the Psalms. And read them out loud. All right? Read them out loud so you hear it. I'll give you good to read out loud so you hear it. It makes a difference. Read Psalms and read Philippians. The book of Philippians. Paul sitting in jail. Talk about a guy who could be depressed. Sitting in jail, and he writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." And he's sitting in a dungeon. Right, be content. I find myself content in all things. And he's sitting in a dungeon. Yeah. Read God's word. Look at what it says. All scriptures God breathed, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, God wants to help you get through those times. How about this next one? Rest confidently in the presence of God's Spirit. God's Spirit's name is the Holy Spirit. I'm going to see if anybody had it. All right, the Holy Spirit. All right. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. God gives us this Holy Spirit. It's alongside of us, and He lives in us. I like this scripture. Then I will ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always be with you. You have the presence of God with you. He's not only up there, He's in here. And you have Him with you, and you can rest in that presence of God. Is there. He's with you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He dwells in you. And that Holy Spirit, when you don't know what to pray, it says He's going to intercede for you. He's going to guide you and direct you. So you have that Holy Spirit. So rest with confidence in that Holy Spirit. And the last one I put here, Remember, God is still on his throne. You know, there's a lot of things I don't know. But I can tell you, I know how this world's going to end. Someday, I'm going to hear a trumpet. Toot, 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 toot. In the sky is Jesus. And someday, Jesus, I don't care who gets elected president. All right? I don't care what happens. God is on his throne, and ain't nobody going to take it away. All right? And so I can remember that. My life may be screwed up. Anybody? My life may be in shambles. I feel lost. I may feel beat up. I may feel down. I may feel down lower than the dirt. I may be like Elijah, sitting under this bush saying, God, I just want to die. But God is on the throne. All right? And I have that confidence. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are God's, a God who is good, a God who cares, a God who understands, a God who blesses, a God who walks with you. We read the creation story, and here God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. We think, oh, that's the Old Testament. No, I'm telling you, God walks with you today. I'm going to pull your covers over your head. Guess what? God's there with you. You know, we need to see that in our lives. We will get depressed. I want to make sure you understand that. You will have those battles. A day, 2 days, depression. It hurts. Because let me tell you, when you're depressed, it's not only you. You know what? It affects everybody in your family. Anybody on board with that one? You know? But when it's long term and you have these long bouts of depression, get some help. If you really can't get with it, get a counselor. Maybe you get some medications. It's okay. You're not crazy. I'm going to tell you, we're all crazy. All right? We need to understand, we are all crazy. I don't think there's a person that is not crazy in this world. All right? Because I'm willing to, my thing is, here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm willing to admit I'm crazy. I can be a jerk. I can be a pain. I say stupid things. I've done some dumb things. Anybody? You know? We're crazy in a crazy world. Bet God. Bet God. That's why I want to encourage you this morning. Depression is a battle. It's a fight. There's no magical wand. There's these myths out there. There's people who try to, who want to help, that say some things that just drive you crazy. You can even work on these 7 things. Bet God. I just want to encourage you. I read every one of those illustrations and I read every one of those passages. And I always came around to God. But I want to tell you, well, you just need to be more spiritual. I want to make sure I communicate. That's not it. Well, you just don't pray enough. You just don't read your Bible enough. That's not it, okay? Are you walking with God and just being in the presence of God? See, think about this. We read the Old Testament. Guess what? They didn't walk around with a Bible. They didn't even have a Bible. They couldn't even carry the scrolls. I mean, can you imagine how many scrolls you're going to have? Oh, I got Jeremiah over here and Isaiah over here. And okay, let's go spend time with God. Yeah. It's being with God. You get the. That's what I want to encourage you. In the midst of your depression, just be with God. Get the help. 7 things here, just helpful. But I wanted to end with this. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You get the picture? Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is Christ. So I'm just going to ask, where are you at today? We had an election this week, and our country's whacked out right now. I don't care who you voted for, it's still whacked out. Personally, I didn't care for either one. I don't know where you guys are at. You know, got to get stuck with one. You know? But I'm going to tell you what. Bet God. Bet God. Don't let this world, don't let the United States, or don't let your emotions, let God be God. Victory in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your love, that you're a God's wind up a world and push it off and wish us luck. But you're a God who loves us, who cares for us, who understands the battles of this world and the battles in our heart and in our mind, who understands the struggles, the hurts, the wounds. A God who cares for all that's in our life. Not only do you care, you have the power and the ability to step into the midst of our lives. And so I ask for you to do that right now. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe right now you're in the midst of some struggles, some battles of depression, broken relationships, wounds from the past, hurts, situations you find yourself in right now. And you want me to pray for you. Would you just shoot your hand up? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. I see that. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of those who struggle right now in this place. They've come acknowledging you, that you are God and that you're on your throne. But Lord, they need some encouragement. Just as Elijah sat under the broom tree and the angel came and cared for him, I ask you that you send your angels to care for these. That you lift them up, that you minister to them, that you feed them, not physically and spiritually, but you feed them with your presence, Lord, in a special way. Lift their hearts, reveal your will, show your way, and touch them, that they may know you are God and you're not done yet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.